in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Just because you're my adopted mama, and I know you'll whoop me if I don't.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm not nervous. I'm scared to death. So. I can tell you I'm nothing, and I will be telling the truth. I can say that I am worthless, a hopeless sinner, that's true. But that's just part of the story. I haven't told everything. I was lost, reborn, and raised a child of the King. I am a royal descendant of the King from Jerusalem. I'm a part of the bloodline of David, and that's who I am. And I claim kindred to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. I'm a royal descendant of the King from Jerusalem. Now how in this world could I stand and say such a thing? To say that I am royal and claim that my father's a king. I'll have to take you to an altar where it happened many years ago. I met the King. I was washed in His blood, and that's all that I know. I am a royal descendant of the King from Jerusalem. I'm a part of the bloodline of David. That's who I am. And I claim kindred to Isaac, to Jacob, and Abraham. I'm a royal descendant of the King from Jerusalem. Amen. Can you claim kindred to the King tonight? Well, I'm glad He'll claim us. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, if you've found your place. And if you're able, we'll stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. First Samuel chapter number 2, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." I want you to focus on a few things in verse number 19. The Bible says that Samuel's mother made him a little coat and he brought it to him from year to year. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight. We stand in need of Your touch. Lord, thank You for the Duncan family. Thank You for the Edwards family. Lord, all the songs that have been sung, Lord, how they have ministered to our hearts. How they have spread a table and ushered in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And then, Lord, for the man of God, Brother Harold, Lord, one of my heroes in the faith, and I love him. And, Lord, thank You for the message tonight. I'm glad we can say, surely the Lord is in this place. And, Lord, I knew it, and I know it. And, Lord, I stand here, and, Lord, I pray that You take the coal off the altar of heaven, touch my lips, illuminate my mind. Help me to say everything, Lord, You'd want me to say. And then, Lord, we're I would be silent where you don't want me to speak. Now, Lord, I love this place. I love these people. I love this pastor. Lord, I love to preach. I want to do my very best for you. Lord, this may be the very last time you ever let me preach. Lord, I want to give it my all for your glory. And Lord, we'll give you praise for all that you do. Lord, speak to hearts. And Lord, we'll give you glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had this thought on my heart for several days now. I'm not one of those that say, well, Lord, because it's the New Year's Eve service, I'm going to preach something dealing with a new year. But I've been actually doing my own devotions, my morning devotions in 1 Samuel. Just finished the previous book, and I started 2 days ago in 1 Samuel, and I came to chapter number 2 on Thursday morning. And we've had our young people on a retreat, and I was doing my devotions that morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart in the hotel. And I want to look at verse number 18 and 19 again. I want us to really focus on this. Samuel, he ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. I want us to remember that. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. I want you to focus on that word little. And he brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Here's a woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah had a burden. The reason Hannah was burdened is because she was barren. You know what? I believe in these last days, what will cause us to have a burden is when you look around and you see things that are barren or people that are barren. I thought about what Brother Harold preached about just a little bit ago. There's some churches that are barren and don't even know it. There's homes that are barren and don't even know it. America is barren and doesn't even know it. But I tell you, I believe when you look around, you see things that are dried up and you see a drought and you see things that are broken and barren. I believe it will cause us to have a burden. And so Hannah, she was burdened because she wanted to have a child. And the Bible says that she prayed to the Lord. And she prayed to the Lord with, you know, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that she prayed with a fervent heart. I believe that she prayed and wept and cried aloud. The Bible lets us know that even the priest thought that she was drunk because she had prayed in such a way. And so anyway, she prayed and God gave her the desires of her heart. God answered her prayer. By the way, if you pray with an expectant heart, you better be ready for the answer that God gives you. Don't pray for your will to be done, but pray for God's will to be done. And we better be careful in what attitude we pray with. And so anyways, Hannah prays and God gives her a son. And then I believe she made this promise to God. If you'll give me a child, after I have this child, I will give him back to you. So the Bible says that her husband is getting ready to go worship. And she said, I'll not go until after the child is weaned. He said, only the Lord has spoken of his part. I'll let you do what you feel is right. And so the Bible says, when the time came that she weaned the child, then she went up and she kept her promise to God. And the Bible says that she offered the child to the Lord. Now, he's there in the temple and he's praising God and he's worshiping God and he's working for God. And the Bible says that every year his mama brings him a new coat. I thought about three things by way of introduction. Why would she bring him a new coat? I believe the first reason that he would need a new coat is because he would need a clean coat. Now, I think we think about our temple or the tabernacle or the church, and here we've got a beautiful church. Beautiful walls, beautiful windows, beautiful stained glass window up here behind us, and beautiful pews and all these things. But where Samuel served, it was a nasty place. I mean, you've got to think about how they would bring the turtle doves and how they would bring the lambs and they would offer those lambs as sacrifice. I'm telling you, you know that feces would get on him and blood would get on him as they would sacrifice those animals. He would need a clean coat from year to year. I'm glad that when I came to Jesus as a 7-year-old boy in all my nastiness and in all my filth and in all my sin and my shame, I'm glad that Jesus Jesus reached down and he cleaned me up, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad one day I took off the old coat and I put on a new coat. I'm glad tonight to say that we can be saved and blood bought, born again, adopted in the family of God, knowing that he'll change us from us our unrighteousness, and we can be robed in his righteousness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he who was rich, he became poor, that we might be made rich. It's good tonight to know that we are saved on our way to heaven, and we are clothed in the red royal crimson blood of Jesus. So he would need a clean coat. Also, this lets us know that it was a custom coat. Now, how many has to buy for little kids? I've got a 9-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter. And I think they've been putting Miracle-Gro in the food that we've been buying for them. You can go to the mall and buy them a pair of shoes, and by the time they get home, those shoes are tight. They're growing so fast. So I believe as Samuel got older, he would grow. And every year he'd get a little bit bigger. The Bible says a little coat. This lets us know that she made it a little bigger so he could grow into it. Now listen, when I got saved 30 years ago, I just turned 37. When I got saved, I was a 7-year-old boy. If I would have just stayed there and never grew for the Lord, what kind of Christian would I be? If you stayed on just the milk, if you just stayed as a baby in Christ, you'd never grow. I believe from year to year we ought to grow in the Lord. We ought to grow in our prayer life. We ought to grow in our worship. We ought to grow in our Bible study. We ought to grow in how we witness and how we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus didn't save us just to camp out on a pew and do nothing. He saved us to serve him, and he saved us to work for him. The Bible lets us know that it's high time to wake out of sleep. The Bible tells us to work while it's day, for the time is coming where we can't work. So listen, he is looking for some people that will stand up for him in these last days and be something for God. So he needed a clean coat. He needed a custom coat. But then thirdly, it was a consecrated coat. The Bible says in verse 18 that he was girded with a linen ephod. This is what those priests would put on. You got to think about from their neck all the way down to the middle part of their shin, they were covered. That was a garment that God told them in Exodus and Leviticus that they were to wear to serve him. So I thought about this. He's given us a clean coat. He's given us a consecrated coat to do his work. So in 2016, there might have been some stuff that got on you that you need to get off you. There may be some things in 2016 that have affected you in such a way that it put a burden on you and put a weight on you. You in a good place tonight for God to take those things off you and clean you up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, Brother Adam, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So I believe with all my heart he's got a garment for us to put on. I believe with all my heart he's got a will for us in 2017. He's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a will for us. He's got a way for us, so it's going to take something clean. And then also it's going to take something consecrated, but then something custom. Well, he's got something for Brother Jeff. He's got something for Sister Angie. He's got something for me. He's got something for Sister Patricia. I mean, he has got something that is custom fit and custom made just for you for 2017. So, every year, and I'm going somewhere with this. I've got butterflies, but here in a minute they're going to start flying in formation. Samuel's mama would bring him a new coat. And for him to put on the new coat, he'd have to take off the old coat. So tonight, maybe you've got to take off whatever you've got on so you can put on what He wants you to have on for 2017. So I got to thinking about that thing. While I was coming up with this or working on this message that God spoke into my heart on Thursday morning, some of the kids said, "Preacher, would you take us down to the lobby and get some breakfast?" And we stayed at a hotel that had like the continental breakfast, if that's what it's called. Some of them didn't want the bacon and eggs and all that that was there. They wanted to go next to the counter where you check in, get a soda pop or candy or something like that. And they had some magazines there, Sister Angie, and one of the magazines saying, "Have your new look for 2017. So, you know what I thought about? God wants to give you a new look for 2017. He might want to give you a brand new coat for 2017. So I went home, and I had to borrow some from my dad and some from my brother and some from a couple of folk at church. But the first coat I thought about my raincoat, my weather coat. And I would put this on if I was getting ready to go out into a storm. When the winds are blowing, when the rain's coming down. And so what I'd do is I'd put on my storm coat. Now, am I talking to anybody tonight? Or looking at anybody tonight that in 2016 has been through some storms? Maybe the wind has blown upon your boat. Maybe the rain has come crashing down upon you. Maybe the trials and the tribulations and the troubles of this old life have beat down on you. Maybe the doubts and the discouragement and all the different things have crashed down on you. Listen, I'm talking about a God up in heaven that one day the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6 was asleep in the hinder part of the boat. And the Bible says that the disciples came into a storm. And while Jesus was asleep, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus got up and He stood at the tip of the boat and He said, "Peace, be still." I'm telling you, no matter what storm you're in tonight, God is able to stand up and speak peace to your soul. But even if He doesn't calm the storm, He can calm your soul in the midst of the storm. But we can get used to going from storm to storm to storm to storm. I've really hesitated, especially with all that Brother Harold has went through. But I'm telling you, life is hard. And it can get discouraging. I've been coming here, preacher has let me come here for 10 years now. And do my best to preach. And this is a home away from home. And I've been doing pretty good this year physically. Doing good. And then all of a sudden, started having stomach issues. And I was bleeding from my belly button back in June. So they start saying stomach cancer and all this stuff. God took care of that. And I stood up on Sunday morning and I began to praise the Lord and testify. And Brother Harold, while I was preaching that morning, my voice just went out. I mean just went out. And I was supposed to start just two nights in a revival that next night. Could not speak. Went on to the church. Could not speak. Could not preach. Couldn't even talk. Tuesday, a big old lump come up in my throat. Didn't know what was going on. We got in touch with our doctor, and he sent me to a ear, nose, and throat specialist. He said, "You got two nodules on your vocal cords." And they start talking throat cancer, and then they tell you things like, "Well, we're going to have to go in, operate, and remove those, and there's just a chance of nicking your vocal cords and never preach again." And I mean, I'm like Brother Harold. If I can't preach, and if I can't, you know, just call me on to glory. And so we got before the church and asked to be anointed again. God touched me and healed me. I hadn't done any kind of physical activity for about 3 months. I woke up on October the 9th on that Saturday morning. I said, "Dawn, I feel great." Said, "I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out a little bit." So I went to the gym, went through my whole routine, felt good. Felt good. Anyways, I got to talking to a young man there at the gym by the name of Clayton. And I said, and Clayton is now attending church with us. But I said, "Clayton, just want to invite you to church." I said, "Next Sunday, we're having homecoming." I said, "That's a good time to come." I said, "We're going to have fried chicken." Now, this is a trainer, you know, that he's got washboard abs and all that stuff. I don't have washboard abs. I've got a washing tub, amen. And so anyways, I said, "We're going to have fried chicken, nanner pudding, all this good stuff." I said, "I'd like for you to come." And he's one of those that I felt like I was being a little pushy. And I was losing him. I said, "Clayton, I'm going to let you go on and do your work and things like that." And Brother Adam, I was doing fine. I was sitting down, I put my shoes back on, and I stood up, and pow! It sounded like a big old shotgun went off, and I ruptured my left hamstring. So, for the last 2 months, I've been doing therapy on my hamstring. I'm about at 85%, but I've got to do 4 more months of that therapy. Now, I laid in bed one night, and I'm just a big old baby. I started crying, and I said, Don, I don't understand it. I said one thing after another. Now, I don't know if I... Hey, listen, you all might be Superman Christian and shouting Susan Billy Bible, but I'm human tonight. And I mean, I've had some times where I say, God, I just don't understand. Now, Brother Harold, I don't know if you've ever faced, I mean, if you've thought that one time, I don't know. But I say, God, I don't understand. It seems like one thing after another. Now, listen, the devil will get into your mind and tell you things like you might as well quit and give up, throw your hands up, God don't love you. Why serve? Why preach? Why pastor? All that stuff. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to get so used to the trials, the troubles, and the hardships of this old life that all you're going to do is go through life from day to day to day, 365 days a year with your storm coat on. If all you've done in 2016 is go from storm to storm to storm, listen, he wants you to take your storm coat off. Because he's able. He is able to him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we even ask or think. He wants you to take your storm coat off tonight. So you got to take off this coat, got to put on another coat. Now I thought about this thing. I kind of like this. It makes me look cool. And I need all the help I can get. Hey. The fun. This is my brother's motorcycle coat. He gets on his Harley, and man, I can't even ride it. I tried to stand up on it one time and about fell over with it. It's so heavy. But you know, my brother, he'll do things like he'll get some time off work, and he'll ride up the coast, or he's been down into. I don't know, the bottom of Florida, and I mean 500 to 600 miles a day, he'd ride, Brother Keith, that motorcycle. And you know what I call this? I call this his traveling coat. And I'm looking at some folk in churches all around that are traveling too much. Listen, God can't find them because he don't know where to look for them because they can't stay settled long enough. I'm talking about people that maybe you've not been completely faithful in 2016. Maybe I'm telling you the pastor prays from week to week and studies to feed your soul. But sometimes folk come once. Hey, listen, I got folk at our church that are CEOs. And I'm not talking of some kind of corporation. They Christmas and Easter onlys. They came last Sunday, and I loaded their wagon full. Because I said, some of you ain't going to see you again until we put the lilies out. Hit and miss, in and out, up and down, hot and cold. Listen, God is looking for some men and women, boys and girls, who in 2017 will be 100% sold out for Him. Not complacent, not cold, but fired up for God Almighty. Traveling here, traveling there. Can't get settled. Can't get settled in their soul. Can't get settled in their heart. Can't get settled in their mind. Hey, can't get settled. You know what? I had some folks recently, sis, they just up and left. And after a few weeks, I called them to 3 different couples, kind of cliquish. And I said, where y'all been missing you? Preacher, we're just looking. We're just looking, not satisfied. I said, first thing we do, is it me? Yeah. No, preacher. No, which, you know, what would I do, brother, if they said, yes, preacher, it's you. You're sorry. But no, preacher, it ain't you. Have I done something? Have I hurt you? Oh, no, preacher. Has somebody else hurt you? Done your, oh no, we're just looking. We're just not satisfied. Now, I'm not a pushy preacher. I'm not, you know, I said, all right. I said, I won't bother you. And I wasn't going to call them the next weekend. And then they called me two Sundays later and they said, "Now, preacher, Brother Dean," this is what they said, "Preacher, we went to this church." I said, "I don't want to know where you go." They said, "Well, his preaching wasn't like your preaching." I said, "I don't want to hear that." You know, first off, I'm going to tell you, when you're a pastor and you love your people, that's your family. Amen. I don't care if they're 80 years old. In a way, they kind of like your kids. And it hurts you when they go. Amen. And listen, it burdened me. And I said, "Don't call me when you go in here and go." And finally, they come back. They come back and they said, "Preacher, that we just been around different places. There ain't no singing like here." And listen, we've come a long way, ain't we, Sister Savannah, on our singing. When I first went to First Free Will, it was that First Presbyterian Church, God help us. And I looked at how they worshiped and sang and how I preached, and I said, "We don't even fit." But God said, "I'm going to do something." He was looking for a place that could sense the presence of God and know it. And so anyways, they said, "Oh, preacher, We went here and there and went there." And finally, I sat down with all of them. I said, "Are you satisfied? Are you where you need to be?" "Yeah." I said, "Then get settled and be faithful." It's hard to be faithful on a Sunday morning here and then gone, 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 gone. Then a Sunday night and gone, 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 gone. And a Wednesday night and gone. Listen, how about in 2017, be faithful on Sunday morning, be faithful on Sunday night, be faithful on Wednesday night. Amen. Men's meetings, ladies' meeting, VBS. Amen. If you need to, hey, if something needs to be fit, put a light bulb in, be faithful too. Amen. Be faithful in 2017. Amen. I might preach this message to our people in the morning. Amen. That's my traveling coat. Let's see. Oh, boy. My nephew's 15. Brother Dean, he's 15 and he stands 6'7", 260 pounds, and he wears a 3X. I don't have no leather jacket. So I borrowed his leather jacket. He said, "Uncle Nathan, that thing cost me $400. And he said, "Are you going to sweat in it?" And I said, "No, I didn't. Now, he's over. I asked him, I said, "What?" He dropped it off to me today. I said, "What's that cross?" He said, "They're letting me be the student leader of FCA this year." And I said, "Praise the Lord for that." He's a big-time football player. I mean big time. And has all kinds of records. And I'm going somewhere with this. You know what? Right now, he's popular. I mean, guys like him, girls like him. I had to pick him up. He's getting close to driving. But I had to pick him up a few weeks ago. And I watched him, Sister Patricia, and girl after girl after girl after girl. "Oh, Garrett, where are you? Hey, Garrett. And he's growing his hair out, looks like Fabio or Flabio or whatever. And Brother Harold talked about bombing a few minutes ago. He done this, preacher. He was walking from one of them girls and done that with his hair. And I thought, goodness, good gravy. I mean, just waving in the wind. But he's a good boy and he loves the Lord. And I thought about this thing. Right now, he's setting records, and the other day I thought about this, and as he come in this afternoon to give me this coat, I said, "Gary, I want you to think about something." And I said, "What does that coat represent to you?" He said, "Oh, man, highlights and records and honors and all this stuff." I said, "You're 15 now, but one day you're going to be 35 and 45 and 55 and 65. I said, "Should the Lord tarry is coming?" I said, "It's going to be a thing of the past." I said, "What you're doing on the field right now be a thing of the past. These records in your name, yeah, you might have a banner and they might retire your jersey and all that." I said, "But it's going to be a thing in the past." I said, "What you do for Jesus is what's going to matter for eternity." Listen, there's people that get stuck in the past. I remember when church used to be this way. Preaching was that way. Worship was that way. Oh, we'd have people get saved. Listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe it was good things that happened in the past. Maybe it was bad things that happened in the past. But the past is the past. Let's look towards Jesus and the future, the author and the finisher of our faith, and take the coat of the past off. I got to take care of this one. It costs more than all these coats put together. Now, let's see here. What have I got? Oh. This is my brother's camo coat. Now what? I'm going to let y'all participate here. Let's get a little T.D. Jakes on you. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, why do you wear camo? Hey, you might be here and say, I don't wear camo. I don't have none in my... Why would you put this on? Why would you put this on and go into the woods at 5 o'clock in the morning to hunt a deer or something like that? Why would you want to blend in because you're hiding from that animal? You know what? There's a lot of people. They even faithful in the house of God, but yet sit there hiding from God. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. Listen, God has saved everybody and has a will for your life. It might be to sing. It might be to teach. It might be to preach. It might be to serve. Hey, listen, there ain't nothing wrong with just being called to be a prayer warrior. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with just coming up to the altar tonight and speaking to pastor and saying, hey, I want to be like Sister Edwards and I just want to see God a little bit bigger in 2017. But there's hidden talents and treasures and all that throughout our church houses, but there's people hiding from God. Running from God. Hiding in the shadows. Listen, you can play peek-a-boo with God all you want. Hide and seek with all you want. Hey, with God all you want. He knows where you are. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed, thou art there. Listen, you can't escape God. Amen. Too many people, 2016, may have been hiding from God. It's time to take that off. Let Him see you. Don't do for God to be seen. There's a lot of people just want to be seen. Where do I want? Oh. Now this is mine. Got it out of my closet. You know what this is? That's my leisure jacket. There's a lot of people wearing their leisure coat. Well, I may or may not go to that watch night service. It's on Saturday. And, you know, we got church on Sunday. And it'd be hard to get up for church on Sunday. Well, you ain't been here the last 5 Sundays. Those are probably the ones that ain't here tonight. Amen. Hey, amen. Hey, I was trying to preach nice. Brother Harold's rubbed off on me. Amen. Yeah. It's the chemo. But listen, am I right about it? There's a lot of people that are leisurely. Listen, their prayer's leisure. Bible study's leisure. Listen, I asked our deacons a few weeks ago. I said, if a man or a woman come down to the altar to get saved, I said, how many of you men can take a Bible and show them how to be saved? Well, ladies, how many can take a lady in the Bible, King James, and show them how to be saved?
Amen.
Oh, well, I'm going to just tell it. Got a young man in our church, preacher. I want to be youth choir leader. Wonderful, can sing, man, flat out sing. I said, great. I said, look, get together and get a program going and some good songs and start. And boy, doing good, singing some great songs. I mean, they get to singing and God moves and God's working on our young people and young people getting saved and I thank God for that. But then 2 Wednesdays ago, preacher, brother, and so-and-so's not here. And I said, well, I don't know. Maybe something's coming. Maybe he's had to work. And I called him after church and said, brother, what happened tonight? We was worried, we was concerned. Well, preacher, just couldn't make it tonight. I said, oh, okay. I said, you have to work over. Well, just a little bit, just couldn't make it. Seen later on Facebook that he and his brother went to see the movies. And I said, now, brother, listen, I'm not a mean preacher. I said, son, I want you to meet me tomorrow morning at IHOP. I'm going to buy you breakfast. And we sat down, was getting ready to eat, and I just opened up Facebook, and I said, this is where you were last night. And I said, I'm not fussing at you, and I'm not mad at you. He's 20 years old, and he's growing. And I'm here to try to help him grow. And I said, what does our young people that are 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 years old, when they're coming to me and say, where's brother so-and-so, and he's not here, and we're concerned, and we're supposed to work on this. I said, then they get home, and they see that you were at the movie. I said, what's that telling them? I said, then you can't rake them over the coals because they didn't come the next Wednesday, and they wasn't there to practice their solo. I said, they might be at the movie because their youth choir leader was at the movie. And you know, I want to tell you, we're at a place where things like that don't bother nobody because we've just gotten soft and leisurely. Oh, just leisurely. Hey, listen, serving God is a serious thing. I mean, it's a hard road. It's a narrow road. It is a difficult, hey, listen, to be truly sold out, child of God, there's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some hardships. It's not just marshmallow cream and peanut butter all the time. But we're just serving Him so leisurely. Time to take off the leisure coat. Oh, I don't have one, but this just came to me. I'm going to put it back on. I wish I had one of those desert camo coats on. How many knows we're in a battle? How many knows that there is an adversary, the devil? He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. John 10:10, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And Luke 23, Jesus looked at Peter, and he says, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He said, but I'm praying for you. And after thou art converted, he said, go and strengthen the brethren. I'm telling you, the devil, he wants to destroy your home and your life and our church. We're in a battle tonight. He's out to get our young people. We really didn't know what we was getting into. We took our young people to Winter Extreme. That should have told us something. We went down there, and I'm just going to be honest. This group got up called Skillet. It is almost like watching AC/DC. One of the ladies from church said, Lord, preacher, said, how's that going to minister to anybody? She started calling them Skittles. And we sat through that, and I thought, Lord, help. And, you know, some of the singing was all right, and, I mean, not that group. They may love, hey, they might be closer to God than Billy Graham. I don't know. But, you know, I sat there, and I said, Lord, we didn't really thoroughly examine this. And I felt like I was responsible, even though we had all these youth leaders and moms and dads, and I felt like it was on me. And we got back to the hotel on Tuesday night, and some of our young people, they said, you know, preacher said, I will say this, all the preaching was right on. It was. Dr. Johnny Hunt and Tony Nolan, a lot of these, they were right on. I mean, right. But we heard some of these groups singing, there was no convicting power, and there was just, it was just like fluff, you know. It's the rhythm of this old world and the beats of this old world, and then our young people, and I've wondered how far they're coming. And they said, preacher, you know what we like? What we're singing in choir. And what we do at the church. And we like your preaching. And I just started crying because I don't like nobody. I feel like the least. I mean, I'm just nothing. And they said, preacher, we like that spitting and hacking and sweating and jumping pews and kicking your shoes off and carrying people around the sanctuary and waving flags. And said, that's what we like. And they said, it'd be all right with us if we just skipped out early. So we did. Hallelujah. We skipped out early. And you know, and it's not to say that we're better than any. That might have been other churches' flavor, but it wasn't for us. And you know what I've come to realize? That you know, you can listen to anything on the world's radio and go into a Christian concert and hear the same thing. I'm glad that they know the difference. And they know what is trying to listen. Can I tell you, instead of the world getting a little more churchy, the church is getting worldly. And it's all the work of the devil. Preacher's worldly. Singing's worldly. I thank God for old-timey church. I thank God for prayer warriors and shouting and singing and hooping and hollering. I thank God for women's. We've got some ladies. They just started a ladies' ministry in our. See, we didn't have ladies' auxiliary. So they started a ministry about 4 months ago called the Rose Ministry, reflecting our Savior's example, I believe. And they've been doing a few things. They said, "Preacher, we want to go to some ladies' conferences." I said, "I know some you can go to." They said, "We'd like to have one." I thought, "I know some ladies that we could call." And I mean, ain't that good? Amen. Ain't that good that we got some people that listen, they're the church is growing numerically and the other way, but more than anything, I want the power and the presence of Almighty God. For without that, we're wasting our time. But I'm telling you, I see it with husbands and wives and families, and the devil's fighting. And can I tell you this? Your enemy is not sitting here or sitting on this side, and your enemy is not another church. Boy, I mean, you know what? Churches, they'll bring in the homeless and the drug addicts and the dope addicts and the alcoholics, and they'll minister to them, but their own brothers and sisters that mess up, boy, they'll trample them while they're down. Our enemy is the devil tonight. It's the devil sowing discord and hatred and gossip and all these things. And God hates those things. We've got a man in our church, Rodney Bailey, great preacher. He's retired now. Well, he's not able to pastor. He preaches when he's able, but he's got a disease. How many knows, like if your feet fall asleep and they're tingly, and you go to stand up and you can't feel, his body feels that constantly. And I'll be preaching, and it's hard. I'll cry sometimes. I'll be preaching from the pulpit, and he'll be in his wheelchair, and he'll just stand straight. And he can't even walk, but he'll stand up. The pain makes him stand up. And one day, he and I went out to Mr. K's bookstore. Got a lot of great Christian books and stuff, used books. And Rodney said, "Pastor, I need to go to the bathroom." And I didn't hear him. And he was over there, and he's an older man. He was over there, and they got a handle on the door a lot like this one. And he was over there trying to grab it. And I didn't know this. And when I seen him, and I went to help him, and he finally got the door open, and he slipped his foot in, and I thought, I'm one of those that do I help him? Will it bother him if I help him, or do I just wait? And he got his foot in, and he got his elbow in. He went in the rest of the way. He come out, and I said, "Preacher, I didn't see you going in. I'd have helped you." He said, "Oh, preacher," he said, "I was all right." He said, "I struggled, but once I got my foot in," he said, "I was able to get the rest of the way in." I said, "Boy, I'd preach." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's like the devil. He'll work and work and work and work to get in. All he has to do is get his foot in the door. And if he gets his foot in the door, he can get the rest of the way in. And he can cause a lot of trouble. We're in a fight. We're in a battle." Amen. The Bible says that we are in a warfare. The Bible tells us that we are to endure like a soldier. That kind of leads me. This is my daddy's. This is a 5XL. He has grown in the Lord. Don't you tell him I said that, preacher. Members only. Dad said it was a real one because it still had them things on there. He said, "There's the knockoffs." He said, "That's real." I probably don't even have to say a whole lot on members only. Us four, no more. We're content with our family on our pew. Just don't ask us to do nothing, preacher. We're just going to be here. We're going to take up this air and breathe and all that. But don't ask us to Don't ask. And then, oh, law, hey, we got visitor. Pastor, visitor come in this morning sitting in my pew. Can you, listen, one time I went to, oh, I feel preaching. Well, I'm just really going to do some meddling, but I went, got to a church one time for a revival. Sister Britton, I was the second car there. Pastor got there. I had a little Ford Escape. I just started doing revivals, 2005. And I parked, I mean, I was about 8 parking places out from the front door. I thought, it's a good distance from the front door, and I'm not taking handicap or nothing, so. And I was there, about 4 or 5 people came in. All of a sudden, this dear saint of God came in. She said, somebody is in my parking place. That loud, Brother Kim. I mean, that loud. And I thought, boy, who's in her parking place? She said, they are driving a maroon Ford Escape. And I thought, that's my car. She said, bless God, I hope they ain't here all week long. So I went outside and I said, sis, I'm going to move my car. She said, you better. So I moved my car. I come back in, got my worship on. Choir was singing songs like, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I mean, they's a shouting it out, and that woman's having herself a time. And all of a sudden, the pastor got up there and he said, I want to introduce the evangelist for the week. And he called me, Brother Dean, as I passed her way. She said, well, Lord, preacher, had I known you as evangelist, I wouldn't have said nothing. What does that do? Now, it didn't bother me at all. It didn't. It didn't bother me. But I mean, what if somebody had been there, never been to church, never been saved, don't know Jesus, already feels like all the Christians they work with are hypocritical? Right. Something like that gets them out forever. Right. We better be careful the attitudes that we bring into church. Hey, listen, by the way, if your attitude's wrong, don't, hey, just stay at home. Amen, because guess what? Can I tell you who the easiest offended person is in church? It ain't the preacher. It ain't Sister Ann. The easiest offended person is the Holy Ghost. It don't take nothing. It don't take nothing to hinder the work of Holy or quench His Spirit. It's a serious thing. I've got one more. Is everybody okay? He asked me if I could preach for 2 hours. I'm trying. I mean, I'm making myself miserable trying to. I don't know who's this. Oh, that's my daddy-in-law. I don't know if this is Carhartt or what this is. It's a 2X. Boy, he's worked in that so much it won't even zip up. You know what this is? This is his work coat. We've done this long enough in our lives. We need to be in a battle, but no time for hiding on God. Time to get past our past. It's time to get settled and stop moving around on God. It's time to get past all the storms of life and let Him strengthen us. And it's time that we get serious and stop being so leisurely. And it's time that we get busy for God and work. We sing hymns like, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll talk about not being lukewarm and not being cold, but being hot and all these things. And I'm going to tell you, I really believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming very, very soon. I'm no prophet. I don't know when He's coming. I've heard preachers say things like, I'm not looking for the sky, I'm listening for the sound, and all these different. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm looking for the signs, I'm looking towards the sky, I'm listening for the sounds, I'm looking for Him to step out on the clouds of glory. I'm ready for Him. He could take, you know, I know my wife. My wife is a worrier. She wanted to come with me tonight. And she said, now Nathan, she said, I'm a little more nervous tonight than I would be any other time. I said, why? And I'm a little slow. She's a worrier. I'm slow. And that works out on my side, you know. And I said, why are you worried? She said, it's New Year's Eve. There's going to be a lot of drinking, a lot of partying, and all that stuff going on. And I said, Dawn, I'm not trying to. I said, listen, if he's ready for me, whether it's the 31st, the 1st, the 2nd, or the 3rd, he's going to take me. And, you know, I drove over the mountain fine, and Lord willing, I'll go back over the mountain fine. But you know what? He could take me before I get to see my wife and my two girls again. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not the best pastor, but I work hard at it, Sister Angie. I'm not a great preacher, but I love to try. I can't sing a lick, but I like to try. I don't feel like I'm a, you know, I know it was meant for me to come, but even that husband side of me, I thought my wife is real sick. And I said, Lord, should I call pastor and tell him I feel like I need to be there with my wife? And but you know what? Brother Scotty wasn't able to make it. And I got home and I was getting ready to go do it. Well, I actually had a funeral at 1 o'clock and then I had one at 5 o'clock. And I come home from 5 o'clock and I didn't know how Don was feeling. Don said, I'm feeling a little bit better. And said, Mom and Dad's going to cook some hot soup for me, and I'm going to go down there. And she said, you go preach. And she said, tell Brother Jeff and Angie I love him. And she said, I hope folks are saved. And she, even though Brother Scotty didn't get to come, she said, tell him I'm praying for him. And you know, I want to tell you, sometimes I don't feel like I'm a good husband, but my wife makes me feel like I'm a great one. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm a good daddy. But boy, I got a 12-year-old girl and a 9-year-old girl that have me right there. And they're on a dance team, and we've got them on the strictest one because we don't let them just, you know, boogie-woogie and dance any old way. It's very tasteful what they do. They're kind of more like a ballet or something like that. And they were supposed to get their pictures made, and their pictures was going to be sent in because they're on a competition team, and they have been invited down to Florida this coming summer to dance. And it was going to be a big to-do. And my girls were supposed to get their pictures made on a Sunday afternoon, and they was going to miss church at night. And Ashley and Abby, I heard them talking together upstairs. And I was going to let them make their own decision. I know some daddies would say, I wouldn't bless God and let them make their own decision. But I've got confidence in my girls. And they was upstairs, and I said, I want y'all to make the decision what you need to do. And I said, don't let Daddy outweigh. And Ashley come down and said, Daddy, me and Abby got up in a room and said, we prayed about that thing. And said, we shouldn't put anything before God. And said, whether we get to dance in front of Mickey Mouse or not, said, we need to be in the house of God. And so sometimes I feel like I'm doing pitiful as a daddy. But then every now and then I think, maybe I'm doing all right. Maybe, you know. And then they start fighting with one another, you know. Can I tell one on them since I've still got an hour and 15 minutes? You'll love this from Sister Patricia. We got several teachers in our church. I mean, that teach in elementary, middle, and high school. And the other day, my two girls was acting like yard apes. They's a-fighting in the van. And Dawn said, I was eating a chicken sandwich. And Dawn said, girls, you better stop that fighting. And Abby said, I don't care. And I said, young lady, you better care. And they cared. They straightened up. We got home, Brother Keith. That next day, Abby was acting like Miss Brandy, and she was playing school. She had four or five of them baby dolls sitting on the couch, you know. And I was in there getting spaghetti, you know, ready for dinner. And I heard Abby say, now you all better care. She remembered what Daddy said. I guess her baby dolls was acting out of, you know, sorts. And she said, you all better care. But, you know, I just want to give my all to pastoring. And I want to give my all to preaching. And I want to give my all to my wife. And I want to give my all to my kids. While I've still got breath, I want to give my all to Jesus. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I don't know how much time I've got, and neither do you. But I'm telling you, in 2017, I want to keep on working. I want to keep on doing. I want to, I want to, I want to just give my all in every area of my life. Listen, it's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. It's not my family, it's God's ministry. It's God's family. I want to give my all. Tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know, I've probably done a pitiful job, but I've had myself a time. With nobody looking around, I just want to ask you, how many would say you've just got too much stuff on you? Maybe you're going through some storms. Maybe you've been complacent. Maybe you've been serving leisurely. Maybe you've been hiding on God. Maybe you've just been about yourself. I don't know, but God knows. How about taking off self and let God put on you what He wants to put on you? This is the last service of 2016. Tomorrow is the first day of 2017. It'd be a good idea just to, I don't want to say resolution, but just try to make a commitment to say, God, I'm going to do more and I'm going to be more in 2017. I'm going to pray, and if you need to come, you come. And Sister Angie, I don't know, maybe you've got a song or one play or however the Lord leads you. I don't know, there might even be somebody here that's lost. Tonight could be the night to be saved. Maybe there's somebody that said, Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I'm just not where I need to be. You can come and get closer to God. Maybe you're going through a storm or a trial. I don't know. Maybe you're just looking for help from God, but maybe you just want to be more in 2017. I look back at Pastor Harold, and he's faced the battle of his life this year. I hope there's better days ahead in 2017, but there could be even harder days. Pastors, we don't know what we're going to face in the ministry or what we're going to face in our churches. I've got a lot of church families right now that are just hurting and broken and going through stuff. And I don't even know how to help. But I know a man who can. Maybe you just want to be like Sister Edwards and just see God bigger. I want to see God bigger. I want to be like John. I must decrease so He can increase. I want God to be bigger in my life. And I want to get a little littler, a little smaller. Maybe that's you tonight. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord, I've tried my best for You. Lord, I've been nervous, and I don't even know what all I said, but I sure hope it's been of some good tonight. Maybe it's just helped one person. Lord, that's why we've come, to try to be a help and a strength and encouragement. Because in these last days, God's people need encouragement.